Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
My heart aglow. He is the living way, the truth, the light. I know I want to walk every day with my Lord. I want to walk every step of the way close to His side, every hour of the day. I want to know that we are in one accord. I want to walk every day with my Lord. I don't want to take a little stroll now and then, be known to my Lord as just a fair weather friend. When someone looks at me, they might catch a glimpse of Him. I want to walk every day with my Lord. I want to walk every step of the way close to His side, every hour of the day. I want to know that we are in one accord. I want to walk every day with my Lord. I want to walk every step of the way close to His side, every hour of the day. I want to know that we are in one accord, even on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, I wanna walk, talk, sing, pray. I wanna walk every day with my Lord.
Good morning on this third weekend of the month of August of 2025. I'm delighted that you chose to join us as we share this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, a program that has been on the air since 1937. It's been my privilege, as some of you already know, to continue producing the program after my father's homegoing in the year 2000. It's hard to believe that it has been 25 years plus since Dad went home to be with Jesus. But thanks so much for listening today, and I hope the program is a blessing. As I've noted, throughout the month of August, this is a five-weekend month, and we certainly need for folks to help us stay on the air. We've never had a commercial sponsor for the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, so we depend upon you, the listening audience, and your gifts to help us stay on the air. We don't ask for your tithe that belongs in your local church, but if you have an offering that you can share, I hope you'll write to us. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Well, this weekend I am closing out Oakland City Camp Meeting on this Sunday, August the 17th. And then I'm going to go home for a few days and begin ministry on Wednesday night at our local church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church. We have a Wednesday night program called The Filling Station. And then on the 21st, I'll fly to Charlottesville, Virginia, and begin weekend homecoming revival services at Enon Baptist Church in Dilwyn, Virginia. And then on August the 27th through the 31st, I'll be at our annual evangelist gathering in Vicksburg, Michigan, at the Indian Lake Nazarene Camp and Retirement Center. So do pray for us as we're involved in these services and as we travel. It'll mean so much. Heavenly Father, thank you again for our listening audience. Thank you for the radio stations who permit us to be on their station. We are on some secular stations, and I'm grateful for that. That's how Dad started the program, on a secular station, as well as those Christian stations. We give you thanks for those station managers and those who help put this program on the air every weekend. Bless the listening audience, those that are sick and shut in. We pray that you would use the message that we share today to help someone in their walk with you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write me, Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
This truth can be found, a promise to stand on when darkness abounds. Right never loses, and wrong never wins.
We're want to lift one verse of scripture, and I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we'll come back to this particular passage to give context to the verse a little later in the sermon. But one verse of scripture found in John chapter 6, verse 57. John chapter 6, verse 57. And throughout the camp meeting, we kind of danced all around this story and all around this passage of scripture. But let's look at verse 57. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. So much is going on in this particular chapter of the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, one of the most familiar miracles in all the ministry of Jesus happens in John chapter 6. All four of the Gospels add detail to this wonderful miracle. And as you study the miracles of Jesus, you'll find that most of them happen on a one-on-one basis. Jesus directly affecting the life of but one person. But here in John chapter 6, we see a minimum of 5,000 people are about to get in on the miracle-working power of God. And you could probably double that figure because, as we have heard, there were no daycare centers in Jesus' day. So where the men went, the women went. And where the men and the women went, no doubt the children went. So you could probably double the number and say there are at least 10,000 people involved in this incredible miracle here in this passage. Philip volunteers as we study. Whenever they sat down to feed the multitude, that half a year's wages would only provide food enough for each one to have a bite of food. Now this number makes this miracle of Jesus unprecedented. For this great multitude of people, as I noted, are about to get involved, get in on the miracle working power of Jesus. I mean, can you see it? Try to envision it in your imagination. They're in a remote place. There's no place to get any food. And so they have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he gives thanks, the Bible tells us. And then he instructs his disciples to have the multitude divided into groups of about 50 each. And then he says, feed them. I wonder what the looks were on those disciples as Jesus gave those instructions. 5 loaves of bread. These were not giant-sized loaves of bread like we find in the grocery store. They were small loaves at best. The fish, they were not large 10-pound bass. Probably something more like sardines. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Feed them. I can imagine the looks of consternation on those disciples as they walked toward the multitude and perhaps maybe even discussing among themselves. How does he expect us to do this? This is an impossible task. Look at this multitude. How are we going to feed this crowd with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? And I see in my imagination, one of the disciples walked to the first man who looks like he could probably consume the whole amount with one great big bite. And he says, hey, listen, we don't have a whole lot of food here. So just take enough to keep your stomach from growling. And that man takes the bread and the fish. He takes what he wants. And then he takes it and passes it to the person beside him. They take what they want. And then that person passes it to the person beside them. And they begin this process throughout the entire multitude. And as they're doing it, passing it from one pair of hands to another, the bread and the fish miraculously is multiplying. And when everybody is fed, they gather up 12 basketfuls of bread and fish. It is a genuine, bona fide miracle of which the people have been a part. If you know the story, you know that then, we heard it from Aaron the other day, the people want to make Jesus their king. Do you know why they wanted to make him their king? Free meals every day. They just know that he's going to feed them from then on like he did then. But Jesus, knowing their intent to make him a king by force, John 6, 15 says, he went away. He went to the mountain to pray, sent his disciples to get into a boat, and they started across the Lake of Galilee. He came walking on the water at night. That's another story, another sermon. But they arrive at the other side of the lake at Gennesaret. They make their way to Capernaum. the crowd finds a large number of boats, apparently, at Tiberias. They board the boats. They follow Jesus to Capernaum. And they arrive there, and they begin to question Jesus. Hey, Jesus, why did you leave us? We wanted to make you our king. Jesus sees right through them. He says, I know why you've come to make me your king. You want another free meal. You live on the level of your stomach. You live on the level of your body passion. You don't want the miracle working power of Jesus working through your fingertips as they did the other day. You live on your body passion. And then he looks at them. He says, I'll tell you what I'd really like for you to do. I would like for you to allow that same power that flowed through your fingertips when the bread and the fish was multiplied as you passed it from one pair of hands to another. I would like for you to allow that power to operate in your life 24 hours a day. Look at their response. Well, Jesus, that sounds good. We'd like to do that. But we weren't reared that way. We were brought up a different way. Our forefathers went in the desert. God said something. They wanted a sign from God. And what did God do? He gave them bread, manna from heaven. Tell you what, Jesus, if you want us to allow you to operate in our lives 24 hours a day like you did the other day when you fed us with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, give us some more bread. Give us some more bread. Look at the response of Jesus. Verse 35 of John chapter 6. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will not drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up to the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. They listen initially to this message that Jesus is preaching, but then he ran into the same problems that we preachers run into today. They stopped listening. They stopped started grumbling. They wanted to know how he could say these kinds of things, begin to question his claims, let their minds wander. I like what Jesus does next. As an evangelist, I really like what Jesus does next. You know what he did next? He just preached the sermon again. You didn't get it the first time. I'm going to preach it a second time. I don't think you would appreciate it this morning if when I finished this message, I said I was watching you and you didn't get it. I'm going to preach it again. That's what Jesus did. Proof that it's all right to repeat sermons, fellas. Very truly I tell you, verse 47 of John chapter 6, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. And as Jesus is preaching, re-preaching this remarkable truth about being the bread of life, he reaches this tremendous climax. He builds toward a remarkable reality. And it hangs on two two-letter words in the verse noted at the beginning of the sermon. just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. You really don't have to be a theologian to understand what's going on here. He's talking our language. As, so, just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. They respond to Jesus, perhaps. Jesus, you've been talking about eating your flesh, drinking your blood. I don't get that. What are you talking about, eating your flesh, drinking your blood? I can't prove it by Scripture, but I imagine Jesus says, you've been watching my life. You've seen how I operate. You have noticed how I get my direction from the Father. You've seen me escape from the crowd and get away to be alone with my Father. You've watched my life and see how I've done things through the power that the Father orchestrates through my life. You see how I'm getting my instruction, my direction from the Father. You see how I get alone with Him, and the very essence of my life, who I am, what I am all about, comes from the Father. No question, the people had seen His wonderful, intimate relationship with His Heavenly Father. And now Jesus says, as the Father is flowing through me, now I'm going to flow through you. As I have been living through the Father, now you're going to live through me. As I feed off the Father, now you're going to feed off of me. As the Father has been flowing through me, now I'm going to flow through you. As I do what the Father wanted me to do, now you're going to do what I want you to do. As I have relationship with my Heavenly Father, now you are going to have relationship with me. And here is the proposition for the sermon for us this morning. The scriptural standard for authentic Christianity is the kind of relationship that Jesus had with His Father. That's the kind of relationship that you and I are to have with Jesus Christ. The kind of relationship that Jesus had with His Father, that's the kind of relationship that you and I are to have with Jesus. If you could ever get a handle on that kind of intimacy, can you imagine that difference that it will make in your life? The kind of difference that it will make in the life of the church? Just as the living Father, He said, sent me. One thing about Jesus, of which there was no doubt, He had been sent. You can rub shoulders with Jesus for 5 minutes until you knew what He was all about. You knew that He knew where He was going, how He was going to get there, what His purpose was. He's seen, when you read the Gospels, concentrate on Him, His activities, what He said, what He did. It seemed that He had this overwhelming sense of destiny about Himself. Down to a Garden of Gethsemane. We've heard about it. Doing what? The Father's will. Certainly not His will. Father, if it could be, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Hanging on a cross. Doing what? Certainly not His will, but His Father's will. Jesus seems to be, throughout the 3.5 years of His earthly ministry, He seems to be all wrapped up in, directed by, constrained by His Father's will. To use a contemporary word, He was obsessed. He was obsessed with his Father's will.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.